Hello, and welcome to the New Hope Church podcast. Whether you are a member of our church family, either in person or online, or just checking us out for the first time, we believe that you belong here at New Hope Church, and we hope that this message speaks to you today. Don't forget to check us out online at newhopechurch.tv, and we'd love to connect with you on social media at New Hope Church TV. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
All right, I want to welcome everybody at our 288 campus, our Friendswood campus, everybody at the Alvin campus, everybody at the Webster campus, all the folks at the Pearland campus and our online campus, and also welcome to everybody at the Weibo Bible Church in Weibo, Montana. Always good to have you along with us, and I hope that you're doing well. For those of us in Southeast Texas, the weather has been awesome yesterday and today so far, so thank you, Lord, for that. But let me begin, before we get into the lesson, by just reminding you that we need to pray for Israel. And they're going through it right now. If you've seen any of the videos, and I don't recommend watching them, just to be totally honest, but some horrible things have happened there as they have been attacked. And so just pray that that all ends quickly, okay? And keep those folks in your prayers. We got friends over there. Jane's actually got family over there right now, but they've all said that they're okay. But still, anyway, just pray. Pray for our friends and those who are in Israel right now. So today what we're going to do in our study of the book of 1 Peter is we're going to begin a trip through a section that talks about living under authority in this life. And the subject continues next week, but this week, the material that we're going to be looking at, the verses that we're going to be going through, he writes specifically about a believer's response to government. A believer's response to government. Now, I know that the government is not a very popular topic nowadays, and I know that. I know that. You know that? I know that. But just so you know, I'm not equating our government with our country, all right? Two very different things there. How do I know that our government is not very popular? Well, it's everywhere in all the polls and so forth. In fact, I found one that I just want to show you. It's a December 2022 Gallup poll where they ask the American people, of these professions, which do you rank at the top as being the most trustworthy and the people that are involved in it have the most integrity? So occupations across the nation ranked, and members of Congress didn't fare too well in this poll. In fact, members of Congress were all the way up, all the way down here, at the very bottom, the very least of all of these categories. And if you can't see these, where you are seated on the screen, two slots above members of Congress is used car salesman right here. And the one that is directly above, and I'm not making this up, this is a Gallup poll, it's for real. The one that's directly above members of Congress is telemarketers. That is, people trust the guy that calls you up and says, I've been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty. People trust that guy more than they trust members of Congress. By the way, nurses, number one. Nurses, number one. Do we have any nurses with us? Raise your hand. Nurses, nurses. All right, very good, very good. Y'all ranked above doctors. But you already knew that, didn't you? You already knew that. All right. But when it comes to government, I know that there's a lot of distrust out there. I know that people are all over the place. There are people in our country that are 100% trusting of the government. 100% trusting. Like blind obedience. No matter what the government says or asks us to do, they just do it. And I'm going to say parenthetically, depending on who's in office, right? That makes a difference for some people. But if their people are in office, their person, they're like, oh, no, whatever. We just do what we do. We comply until somebody else gets put in office. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have people who hate the government. And they won't comply with anything the government says and don't want to comply with anything the government says. So just a question as we begin, where should we as Christians land on this subject? Are we supposed to just sort of mindlessly comply with whatever the government says that we should do or the government does? Or should we actively and always rebel against anything the government says or does? Now, I promise you, I did not choose this topic. About 3 weeks ago, the federal government spent $600 million on at-home COVID tests for what they think is coming next, and there's been whispers of possible lockdowns. That's not why I chose this subject today. I didn't choose it because we are in the middle, it feels like, of a presidential election. Because it always feels like we're in the middle of a presidential election anymore, does it not? I did not choose this subject because one political party is having presidential debates right now, and the other party wishes that they were having debates right now. That's a nervous laugh, but I get it. But I know what's going on. I'm watching, okay? So none of those reasons are why we're on this subject today. We're here because we're studying through the book of 1 Peter, and this is the next subject that Peter addresses. By the way, if you're brand new with this is what we do as a church. We study the Bible. We learn from the Bible. And what are we going to do today? We're going to study the Bible. We're going to learn from God's word, and guess what? By the time we leave, we're going to be better off because of it. Amen to that? All right, so let's get going. This is going to be out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 17 today as we walk through this book together. First thing that's going to happen, I'm just going to read through the text. And as I read through, I'm going to give you some context for the text. The situation that Peter wrote this letter into. And then we're going to take a closer look at maybe a bigger question that a lot of Christians have nowadays when it comes to obeying the government or complying to the government in a world that continues to move further and further away from what God desires. But let's just start by reading the text. Peter frames this discussion in the same way that he frames the entire letter that he wrote to these folks. He writes this beginning verse 11. He says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and what? Exiles, to abstain from the passions of your flesh, which wage war against your soul." So what he's doing here is what he did in the very first verse of this book. He's telling us, I mean, he's writing this to somebody else, but it applies to us as well. This world is not our home. We're just exiles here. He's reminding us of that again before we get into this next subject. And this world is not our home, but here we are. Here we are. We're here for a little while, decades perhaps more for some of us. And here we are. So while we're here, we need to live holy lives. And if you have been with us for this study, then you know that he's writing to Gentile Christians primarily. That means non-Jewish people, Gentiles who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. And if they were Gentiles prior to coming to Christ, more than likely, perhaps, their lifestyle included the debauchery that was common in the Roman Empire at that time, which would be, you know, multiple gods. It would be no limits, no controls, no borders for your sexual practices. It would be power as a means of obtaining whatever you wanted in this life. And Peter repeatedly says in his book, no more. No. Don't go back to that. That's not how you should be living now. Instead, you should be living differently. That's what this series is called, different. You should be different now because of Christ. And then verse 12, he says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. On the day of visitation is a reference to when Jesus comes back. So he says here, among the Gentiles, which might sound strange because he's writing to primarily Gentiles, but in the New Testament, just so you know, the word Gentiles is often used just to describe people who are not believers. Okay, so these people, even though they were Gentiles, are now believers. Peter would not necessarily describe them as Gentiles anymore because that was a word reserved for those who were still outside of the faith. And he says here, even though they accuse you of doing evil things like setting fires, for instance, He says, what do? You just keep doing the right thing. You keep doing the right thing, keep doing the right thing, keep doing the right thing. And by the way, if you woke up this week and you're looking at the world and you're like, the world's gone nuts, what do I do? I'm going to give you the answer straight from Scripture. Keep doing the right thing. No matter what anybody else is doing, no matter what you're seeing on the TV or reading on the internet, you get up and do the right thing. Everything that we do should show people that we are following someone who's above everything else, who's above what society is doing, what anybody, you know, might be saying is the right thing to do. No, we're following God. We're following God who's above all. And we're going to continue to try to please our lives with him. And the hope here, I think that Peter's saying is going to happen is that these people, these Gentiles will come to faith in Christ. Otherwise, they would not be happy on the day of visitation. They're not going to be happy. If they're not a follower of Jesus, that's not going to be a good day for them, okay? But he's talking about us living in this world that is not our home in a way that is a testimony, so maybe these people will find faith in Jesus Christ. And then he talks about government, okay? But this is the entrance ramp. We're living on this world. We're living among people who may not get it, but you get it. So you live differently because they're watching you, okay? Now, verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Okay, so lots to unpack here. First, some reminders of the context. Peter wrote this 64 AD, right before Nero burned Rome, blamed Christians, after which horrific persecution broke out against Christians for the next 3 years. By telling you that right now, I'm not suggesting, well, if Peter had known that, he sure wouldn't have said this right here. If he would have known what was coming, he wouldn't have said this. That's not true. That's not. But I'll tell you what, you read some commentaries, they actually say that. They say, if Peter had, maybe he would have written this differently if he would have known what was about to happen. Listen to me, God is the author of this book right here. And so even though Peter wrote it down, God is the author. So God, not Peter, made this incredible declaration to honor the emperor. Fast forward, Christians are being tortured and killed by the emperor. Many were killed simply because they were Christians. Others were killed because they directly defied the emperor. How so? Well, Caesars back in the day, or emperors back in the day, were considered to be deity or God. And so if you lived in the Roman Empire, one way that your loyalty to the empire would be checked on a regular basis would be if somebody said to you, Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord. So if somebody said this to you, that was a prompt and you were supposed to say it back. And according to the Roman historian Tacitus, one of the reasons that Christians were killed in large numbers during this three-year span is in part because of their unwillingness to repeat this phrase. They were willing to pay taxes. They were willing to obey the laws of the land. They were willing to keep the peace as much as was possible for them personally. But one thing they would not do was to put someone else above Jesus in their lives. So when prompted to say this, instead of saying it, they would either remain silent or they would reply, Jesus is Lord. And for many, the penalty for this rebellion to the government was instantaneous as they were killed on the spot. Others were arrested, imprisoned, taken to Rome to be executed in the Colosseum in front of large crowds, and the executions were brutal. But they rebelled against government. These Christians rebelled against government, yet people like this who stood up against government and lost their lives because of the persecution of this human institution of the government are rewarded in the Bible. They're rewarded in the Bible. So how does that square up? Now, as I tell you on a regular basis, God does not contradict himself in the Bible. So how can he say, honor the emperor and then give rewards to people who didn't do what the emperor wanted them to do? Well, let me give you a couple of reasons right out of the text, okay? First of all, Christians in the government, we honor human institutions such as the government, we honor for the Lord's sake. And we see that clearly in the text. And if you read through this section of scripture and the next one included in that, you'll see that God prefers order over chaos. So his desire for us is to be under authority and not running around all the time, doing stupid things, taking our neighbor's stuff, rioting, looting, playing loud music in the middle of the night, driving our neighbor crazy, thumbing our nose at any and every law that has been passed down. God wants us to add to the order of a nation, not to the chaos. And we do this, why? For the Lord's sake. We're doing it for the Lord's sake because that's what he wants. Look at verses 13 and 14. It says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme. And let's just stop right here for a moment. The word emperor here in the Greek can also be translated as king. I believe they chose emperor in the translation because that's the top dog in the government at that time when this was written. It says as supreme, not meaning he was above God, but that he was at the very top of this particular human institution. Now, as Christians, the people that were receiving this letter had someone that was supreme, that was above the emperor. And guess what? We do too. And that's God. God's above any human institution. And that fact comes into play with what's about to happen to these people over the next 3 years. So here we go. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Okay, our government here in the United States is set up a whole lot differently than theirs was in the Roman Empire. But the reason that God ordained human institutions in general, such as governments, is really spelled out in this text. There are two things that he really wants to happen in from a human institution standpoint. He wants that human institution to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. In fact, if you look at Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, Romans 13, 1 through 7, the Apostle Paul goes on this discourse about government as well. He gives these same two things that government is supposed to do. It's supposed to punish those people who are doing evil and to praise those who are doing good. Of course, where the train comes off the tracks is when a government starts doing the opposite, okay? As happened to these good people in the Roman Empire back then. So a valid question is this. Why honor the emperor? Why would Peter even write that? Why would God have Peter write that when the emperor was about to persecute so many Christians? Well, two reasons for that. One, God is a God of order, not of chaos, okay? The reason that he's ordained human institutions is to keep some sort of order. You think about it, places in the world that do not have a government at all or don't have a strong government, though a strong government that punishes evil, those places descend into chaos pretty quickly. And unfortunately, we've seen that in some cities in the United States. Some cities where there is little to no punishment for criminals. A guy commits a crime and maybe a slap on the wrist, maybe nothing, back out on the streets by the time evening comes and immediately goes back and starts doing the same thing. And then others are emboldened to go out and also to steal and to kill and whatever else. And guess who suffers? Good people suffer. So good people are being punished and people that are up to no good are not being punished. And this past week, the New York Post, and there's so many articles about this. I was up this morning reading too many articles about this very thing right here, but I've just chosen a couple to share. This past week in the New York Post, there was an article about the Minneapolis DA, district attorney, seeking only probation for murderers and rapists. Probation. For you law-abiding citizens that don't know what that is, that's just going in and checking in with somebody every now and then. You imagine that? You murdered somebody? Okay, you gotta have an appointment with somebody. That's the punishment. You imagine being the probation officer? Have you killed anybody else this past week? That, my friends, is insane. That's insane. There was a report out of New York City that I've chosen just to be representative of the of what happens, the mindset, what it becomes when there is no punishment whatsoever. In 2020, there was a guy that was arrested 139 times in New York. 139 times, every time he was released, 139 times. On the 139th time, there were reporters there trying to get some sort of a statement from him, and here's what he told reporters as he laughed. Bail reform, it's lit, I'm famous, I take $200 to $300 a day of your money, you can't stop me, actual quote. That, my friends, is chaos. That's chaos. Here's another one from this morning. Authorities in D.C. have refused to prosecute 67% of carjackers arrested over the past year. So that's somebody that takes your car as you're trying to drive down the road, okay? They've refused to even prosecute 67% of the carjackers that have been arrested over the past year. Well, what is that going to do? What's that going to lead to? What do you think? More carjackings or less? Now the number of carjackings in 2023 in D.C. is higher than it was in 2018, 2019, and 2020 combined. There have been over 700 carjackings in D.C. proper this year alone. That, my friends, is chaos. It's chaos. And we see it over and over again in a lot of our large cities, San Francisco, L.A., Seattle, Chicago, Minneapolis, even Houston, where we've seen major increases in crime as criminals are just turned back out on the street. One state that's very far to the west, I can say it, California, they instituted a law where you can't stop a shoplifter. What's that gonna do? Okay? I mean, I can do the math on that real quick. I know what's going to happen. They obviously can't figure it out, but you couldn't stop a shoplifter. And then they also had another law where as long as a shoplifter didn't take over $950 worth of stuff, they couldn't be charged with any more than a misdemeanor. And now stores are closing, shutting their doors because they can't make it because there's so much shoplifting. It's impossible for them to remain open. And good citizens, law-abiding citizens are fleeing because the guilty are going unpunished. Crime is increasing. And let me just tell you, God is not a fan. God is not a fan. And so for us who are law-abiding, it brings up a valid question. Why honor the emperor? Why? Nobody else is. The world's gone crazy. It feels like a free-for-all sometimes. Why do we do this? I'm going to tell you why. As followers of Jesus Christ, we do it for the Lord's sake because of our relationship with him. No matter what the rest of the world is doing, we're going to be law-abiding because God is a God of order, not chaos. Another reason. Because the emperors, why aren't the emperor? Because the emperors are temporary, but the principle is lasting. Honor human authority is a lasting principle that God has given to us. Nero would soon be gone, but God knew generations of people would be reading this letter, and so he wanted to maintain order as long as people are on this earth. So we honor human authority over us for God's sake. We stop at stop signs. Do I need to say that again? I feel like some of you are resisting that just a little bit. We stop at stop signs, but there's no one there and there was no police. Why are you stopping at, for the Lord's sake? Right? We stop, it's, we obey the law. We stop at stop signs. We build according to the local codes. We don't steal or kill our neighbor. If we do get stopped by the police, we show respect. We don't yell, I'm not complying because Jesus is Lord. You're not my Lord. You're not my boss. Which brings up a question that I have been asked. Is there ever a time then, as a Christian, when you don't comply with the government? Is there a time when you don't comply? Is there a time when non-compliance is the correct answer? And the answer to that question is yes. Yes. And that's what I'll explain here in the second point, which is this. We obey the Lord first. We honor human institutions, but ultimately, we obey the Lord first. And if the government ever wants us to do something that is the opposite or is in conflict with what God wants us to do, we obey God first. We obey God first. That's what we do as Christians. And here's an example. I'm going to use a sort of an extreme example just to make the point, and then we'll come back, okay? But if the government says you can only have one child, and you get pregnant a second time, and so you got to abort that baby, and they come to your house when they find out, and they give you a citation. They say, now you got to come and show yourself, within the next 2 weeks, and that you've gotten rid of the baby, you've aborted the baby, or you're going to be in more trouble. That would be a moment in time when you would say, I know that the taking of an innocent human life is a sin. It's not what God desires. God is the author of life. Life is sacred. I'm not going to do that. That would be a time when you would not comply. Maybe you think, well, that would never happen. Listen, happened in China. Happened in China. And we're a long way from China in the way that we do things. But I will say this. There are a lot of people, including people in the United States, that are... I think that have created a kind of a religion of climate, and they want to decrease the population in the world by 90%. How are we going to get there? And if those folks like that, who there's more and more of them, it feels like, if they ever get into power, all bets are off. In the Old Testament, the king of Egypt, which we call Pharaoh now, the king of Egypt ordered male Hebrew babies killed. Moses' mom did not comply. She hid him, and he grew up and saved the nation. When Jesus was born, King Herod ordered that male babies be killed. And Jesus' brave stepdad, Joseph, snuck away in the middle of the night so that Jesus' life would be spared, and the rest is history. Joseph did not comply. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were told that the law of the land was now, when you hear the music play, you have to bow down. Everybody has to bow down to this 90-foot idol that the king has made that looks just like the king. That is now the law of the land. And so the music played. They did not bow, and they were pretty easy to spot because they were the only ones standing up, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. But it is because they knew that God's word says, you don't bow for anybody or anything other than the Lord. Amen. Your knee's not supposed to bow for anybody else. And then thrown into the fiery furnace, and God took care of him, and that's a story for another day. But Daniel, they made a law, the king made a law, that for the next 30 days, no one could pray to anyone except for the king. Like he's a deity. Nobody can pray to anybody except to me. Daniel prayed to the Lord several times a day and did the same thing. He had a routine. He goes up to his window, opens up the shutters, and prays to the God of heaven, the one true God. People saw him. He got turned in, thrown into the lion's den. Daniel did not comply. I could go on and on. There are so many stories in the Bible. Peter and John were told, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. No more preaching in Jesus' name. And they said, sorry, can't comply. And they walked out and kept on preaching. And every one of these stories has this in common. A person was following God above government. Above government. I had a pastor friend who, he's in California, and in the late days of the pandemic, the rest of the country had pretty much opened up. California tried to stay closed pretty tight for a long time, but in California, the governor had made a mandate that churches could only have this many people. It's like a really small number. His auditorium at that church seats like 2,500, 3,000 people, and multiple services every week usually, and the pandemic had them down to, you know, they were only supposed to have a handful of people in the building, and or else they would be fined thousands of dollars. But the church made the decision to open all the way up, and they were looking, because across the street from their church building is a Costco. Costco was wide open. Thousands of people coming and going all day long. The pot shop down the street selling weed, open all the time. People coming and going. The church was almost closed. They were trying to keep it closed. So again, my friend's church, they made the decision to open it up. People started coming back. Every week the government would show up, government officials, write them a citation for thousands of dollars every week, 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 thousands upon thousands of dollars. And honestly, that's part of the deal, is suffering the penalty. Honoring the government sometimes means being willing to suffer the penalty for doing the right thing. That's still honoring the government because you're paying the penalty. By the way, guess what happened to my friend's church in California? They got all their money back. They got all their money back. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing about our country, is the top authority in this country is not the governor. It's not the body of the Senate. It's not the House of Representatives. It's not even the president. In fact, the top authority in this nation is not even a person. It's the Constitution. And the third branch of government ruled that the governor's mandates were unconstitutional because you're not supposed to make any law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. And all the churches that got fined and had to pay those fines got their money back. And now we see places like in New York, of all places, rehiring teachers that they fired for not getting the vaccine. They had to rehire them, court order had to rehire them, and they had to give them full back pay for all the time that they missed. And this is what's awesome about our country. Thank you, God, for this country. Politicians may get off track, and they often do. But unlike the Emperor of Rome, our politicians work for us. We hire them. And we can fire them. And between elections, if a mandate or a law comes in conflict with the Constitution or with the free exercise of religion, we have recourse. I recently read a book that used as the main example Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He is some of you may know him or about him and his story, but he was a pastor in Germany during World War II. So a German pastor. He saw what the Nazi regime was up to, the evil that it represented, and so he went around to churches trying to get those pastors and those churches on board to stand up against the evil that was being perpetrated, and unfortunately, very few churches would. The German church pretty much complied with the wishes of the Nazi party, many of them even helping with the ostracizing of the Jews mouthing the propaganda in their services and even flying the Nazi flag on their buildings. You think, how did the church get to that point? How did it get to that point? Here's how. A little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. Like the frog in the pot that gets boiled without ever realizing that the water temperature was rising. If we as a people give in a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there to culture or to infringement on religious freedoms, eventually we're going to find ourselves in a place that we never thought we would be, flying a flag we never thought we'd be flying. So what's God desire for us? I think he desires for us to put him first above all. Not only for ourselves, but for our children. and our children's children who come after us. Listen, I love our country. I think that our country is the best country on the planet, bar none. I love the United States. That's why so many people are hopping the... We have the greatest country in the world. That's why so many people are hopping the border to get in here in record numbers. Everyone wants to be here. We're blessed to be here. But now I'm going to use two howevers in a row. Okay, and I'm not sure what that does grammatically. I'm not sure where that takes us. Our country is the best country in the world. However, that's the first however, this country is not our forever home. That's heaven. That's heaven, right? So greatest country in the world, but it's not our forever home. Second, however, it's not our forever home. Heaven's our forever home. However, second, however, we're here for a lifetime. We're here for a lifetime, okay? So while some people might say, forget about this place, forget about it, you know, I'm going to heaven someday, I don't care what happens after me. Well, what about our kids? We don't know how long Jesus is coming, it's gonna be delayed. What about our kids? What about our grandkids? We need to fight the good fight, stand for the word for our kids, man, and for our grandkids and for those who will come after us. Peter uses the verbiage in his short letter of the exile, which took place 500 years before when the Jewish folks were taken out of Israel and taken to Babylon. He uses terminology, calls us exiles and sojourners. He uses the phrase the dispersion, which is a direct indicator of that time 500 years before. He also calls the Roman Empire Babylon. So Peter's already there, already talking about that exile 500 years before to kind of liken it to what we might feel like in this world that does not represent heaven. And so I'm just going to go there, okay? I'm going to use that because he's already opened that conversation. So I'm going to go back 500 years to what God said to the people in the original exile. This is Jeremiah chapter 29. He says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the leader, to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. These people maybe were about to say, I don't care about what happens to us. This is not our home. But God says, well, no. You're going to be here for a while. So work for the betterment of the nation you're in. And I believe that we should do the same. Yeah, our country's off track, way off track. But don't write it off. Don't quit trying. God and his kingdom first, yes, yes, yes. But contribute to making this nation better however God calls you to do so. Vote for sure. If God calls you to run for office, you got my prayers. I'm not going to join you. But I mean, if God calls you to do that. But ultimately, Jesus is the answer for our world. And Jesus is the answer for this nation. Okay? So I'm going to let you go in just a second. I'm going to ask the campus pastors at all of our campuses to go ahead and come up to the side of the stage because I'm going to throw it over to you in just a moment. But I want you to remember this as you drive home today. Obey the traffic laws. Okay? For the Lord's sake, obey the traffic laws. Let me end this sermon with the phrase, the statement that was in direct defiance to the emperor and got a whole lot of Christians killed. It's right here. Jesus is Lord. Imagine being prompted to say that Caesar was Lord and Roman soldiers watching you as you answered that prompt. The early Christians, man, they got it right. Jesus is above every other name. Jesus is above every human institution. His name above every other name. He's Lord over all, of all. And he's the one. He's the one who shed his precious blood so that we could have a place in heaven someday. Well, we're all going to go, those of us who put our faith in him. We're already citizens of that place, a place where every tear will cease. There will be no more sin, no more abuse, no more crime, no more elections, no more pain, no more anxiety, no more sickness, no more hospitals, no more death, no more loss, only joy in the presence of Almighty God. That's what we're headed toward someday. Now, in Philippians, we're told that when Jesus comes back, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. So someday, everyone is going to say this. But on that day, it's going to be too late for a whole lot of people. I mean, they'll see it. They'll see it. They'll go, oh, yeah, he is Lord. Like, I didn't get that. That's too late on that day. So I'm just saying for you, I hope this is true in your life today. Jesus is Lord. Love you guys so much. We'll see you next time.
If you enjoyed the podcast, we encourage you to follow, share it with friends and family, or let us know by tagging us at New Hope Church TV on social media. We would love to connect with you. Thanks for listening.